Chapter 5. The gesture was a simple one. Just a fraction of a tilt back with my head, so more of my throat was on display to the feral siren woman. Deep down, I didn't really believe she would rip my throat out, but I knew it was beyond foolish of me to think she wouldn't if she really thought it was necessary. As it was, my bluff paid off anyway, because my submissive body language did the work that words rarely could in this situation. And some of the fury that turned her eyes such a striking shade of crimson was fading as her irises went back to their natural claret wine state. Just like I'd hoped, her anger dissipated in the face of my compliance. And as clarity returned to her gaze, she released me forcefully like her skin was blistered after having touched mine. She scrambled back and sat a little ways from me on the shore with her arms folded tightly over her still naked chest. And even at the distance I was at, I could see her shaking. I slowly got back to my feet and approached her like the skittish being she was. "Nova, are you all right?" I asked. But I kept my hands to myself, even though I wanted to at least put a comforting palm on her back. But the last thing I wanted to do was make her feel any more uncomfortable than she already was, so I refrained.
"Use words,"
she replied after a minute or two, and even though this was clearly the trigger to her temper tantrum, she only gritted her teeth instead of flying into a rage this time.
"Father, tell me, after mother died, use words. Tell father what means. When Nova tell him she can't or she don't know, father get mad. Start to hurt Nova."
"Oh, shit," I said. And when I spotted a few of her tears starting to fall, I couldn't help myself and gathered her into my arms for a hug. She leaned against me stiffly at first, but after I petted her head a few times, she finally looked up at me with a question on her jade-colored face.
"Thought you would hurt Nova, too. I'm sorry."
"No, I'm sorry," I told her, firmly but gently. "I shouldn't have pushed you when I could tell it was making you upset. And you should know I would never do anything to hurt you on purpose like that. Trust me?"
"Yes, trust,"
the siren woman said after she took a sage moment to think about my words.
"Nova will trust when Might say he will save her from the rickety house."
"That reminds me," I said, and scanned down the shore for my trusty gold-seeker moth. Then I spotted a bright yellow flicker near the water's edge where it looked like he'd managed to get a little of his own fishing in.
"Rufus!"
He came flapping toward us eagerly and even had a clump of odd seaweed in his beak that was the same color blue as the lake.
"Scrawl!"
he said after he dropped his prize at our feet. "What you got there, buddy?" I asked him, as I nudged the blue tangle of plants with my toe. Each long, grassy strand had bloated green nodules growing all along it that reminded me of the warts on a toad.
"Rue, bring lakeweed for eat,"
Nova said, and picked up one of the strands of the apparent lakeweed. With her fingers, she popped one of the nodules and squeezed until a purple seed appeared. She then demonstrated how good of a snack this obviously was by crunching down on the seed with a happy smile.
"See? Good snack. Good Ruru."
Then Nova handed me the strand, and it was only fair I copy her and sample one of her favorite foods. When I crunched down on the slightly oily seed, the first thing I thought of was it reminded me of the texture of a Jordan almond. But instead of the overpowering sugar flavor Jordan almonds were known for, the lakeweed pod tasted more like a pretzel or actual honest-to-God peanuts. And despite the unpleasant way of harvesting them, they really weren't that bad. "So I was thinking," I said after we enjoyed our little snack. "I can tell Shay to come down here and meet us. She is the only one who can help us heal the heart because she did so on Tear."
"Island heard you talk about Shay,"
Nova said, and then to clarify, she tentatively drew more of those symbols into the sand at our feet. One symbol in particular ended up resembling something that looked like fire. And based on the siren woman's words, I took it to mean it was the symbol for the incarnate. "Does the island know we want to help it?" I asked. "Back on Nada Isle, we found the secret crypt where Shay and her power came from, and it was similar to the cave you just showed me. There was a guardian spirit I had to fight in order to unlock the secret."
"No, guardian,"
Nova assured me with a light pat on my knee.
"Nova is guardian. Keeper, guardian."
"Oh, of course, how silly of me," I chuckled. After what she'd told me, combined with that fearsome display of her prowess in her true form, there was no doubt who the island's most effective keeper was when it came to its damaged heart. "That settles it, then. We will send Rufus off to go get Shay, so she can come down here and help free you."
"Free?"
Nova asked, with a tenuous wobble of fragile hope in her voice.
"Then I go with you?"
"Then you may come with me," I vowed. After a beat in which I watched my words fully sink into her, Nova rewarded me with another one of her rib-crushing hugs. I laughed and hugged her back while Rufus cawed happily overhead. And together we jogged up the crooked path back to Rickety House in order to see to the few preparations we had left before we blew this pop stand. Officially and for good. Step one was finding a suitable piece of stationery in this hovel that wasn't damp or crumbling apart like the rest of the papers and books left to the damp and neglect. When I finally found a piece suitable enough, I quickly scrawled down a brief synopsis of what had taken place, and I requested that Shay come down from the airship by herself so the three of us could take care of the last bit of this business. "Nova, do you want me to add anything for anyone?" I asked, even though she'd literally never met any of the crew before. I figured if I normalized the concept of other people, she wouldn't be so shocked when she was exposed to the zany crowd I ran with. For her part, Nova didn't really seem to care either way, because she was busy bopping around the space and filling a small frayed reed basket with the few items I guessed were worth saving, in her opinion. One of the things I noticed was my ruined tunic she'd rescued from the floor and drawn over her own shoulders. Because it was ripped all the way down the middle, it didn't really do much in the way of covering her modesty. But the way she wore it anyway told me she didn't care about the garment's practical use, but rather its sentimental one. Still, though, I jotted down a note and asked Shay to bring us both suitable clothing before she left. And after I rolled the message up tight, I attached it to the Chromoth with instructions on seeking out Shay. Then I sent Rufus on his way so he could deliver the message to the airship. When that was all squared away, I finally turned my full attention on what exactly it was the siren woman was occupying herself with. The longer I observed, the more I began to understand she was going about adding random objects to a growing pile she'd started in the middle of the room. The poor basket had split along the side, and the objects spilling out were all commonplace items that included practical things like a cup, a spoon, and a wooden bowl that had a pretty good crack in it, but was obviously still useful to hold non-soup-like items, at least. Nova seemed so proud of these items, and she added each and every broken bit or bob she deemed valuable in some way to the pile with a discerning look on her serious face. I didn't have the heart to try and dissuade her from packing what looked to be useless or worn-out garbage from my point of view. The utmost care she took in making her decisions told me all I needed to about the items I seemingly took for granted, and I could only wonder about the things Nova truly found precious. I didn't have to wonder for very long, because after her measly packing was done, she then disappeared for a few long moments before returning from the scullery with a handmade box in her hands. This, I could tell, was unlike the other things she'd gathered simply in the way she held the box close to her heart as she walked. When she sat down next to me, I could see the box was made from a series of twigs similar to popsicle sticks lashed together that gave the lid a very flat look. On top were more decorations, and there were even a few hand-painted flowers long since faded from loving hands and opening and closing it over time. When Nova opened the lid, I could see there was a pile of similarly dusty and meaningless objects. But because all of these objects were inside of the makeshift jewelry box, I knew they had to have some sentimental value that outweighed everything else she owned in the world. One by one, the Siren Woman showed me the items without saying anything in the way of explanation. Some items didn't even need one, like the evidence of a lovingly pressed flower or a yellowed handkerchief with a very particular pattern on it that could have been hand-stitched. Nova lingered over this handkerchief for a moment as her thumb traced some of the frayed thread. And when she moved on, it was on to a pendant with a broken chain. This pendant also seemed familiar because it looked like it could have been the same spiral that was embossed on the cover of that book. My breath quickened with excitement as something about this slotted another puzzle piece into place. Soon I would be able to see the bigger picture. I could almost taste it. But I had to be more than sure, so, like a crow, I stashed this tidbit away along with the rest I was compiling.
Mother,
the Siren Woman clarified as she held the spiral pendant in the palm of her hand.
She knew the words. Sometimes Father Criff would bring witch to Rickety House.
A witch? I asked, as I cocked my head in confusion. This was the first time I'd ever heard of any witch.
Yes,
Nova continued, oblivious to my growing alarm.
She make glowing symbols appear for Mother, and when she read them, Mother sick.
Your mother got sick whenever she was forced to read? I repeated, so I knew what she was talking about. What did the witch want?
Wanted Mother to tell future,
Nova said, and my heart rate picked up a notch when this sounded like a prophecy.
Wanted Mother to give the name of next baby.
Baby? I trailed off as I tried to sort through the influx of new information. What baby?
Baby who?
Nova stopped abruptly and scowled as she bit her lip.
Next one. Who, like Mother? Father Criff thought Nova would be baby.
And that's why Criff forced you to try to do what your mother did, I concluded. He thought you could also tell him the future.
But Nova couldn't read,
she said, as her ears flattened once more in shame.
Make Nova sick, too, and also had to stop.
Well, no one will force you to do that ever again, I nodded, and stroked my hand through her hair.
But you?
She trailed off again with a confused look on her face, and I couldn't blame her because I knew what she was getting at. I know I tried to make you read them, but the truth is, despite how helpful it would be to have a translation, it's nothing compared to your happiness, I told her and shrugged. Nova seemed to pick up on my meaning, because she finally gave me a genuine smile as my words sank in.
Scrawl!
Rufus suddenly cawed, and he flew in through the window he left through only a little while ago with a piece of Shay's familiar stationery clutched in his furry moth paws. That was quick, I remarked, and went over to take the missive away from the excited crow moth. He must have known all of us were gearing up to leave this place or something because he continued to flap around the room as I tried to read Shay's hurried response. Good news. Shay wants to come down right away to see you, if that's okay, I told the curious Siren Woman after she managed to calm Rufus down. Currently, the little pest was making another nest out of the woman's crazy hair. Rufus chattered in his little crow moth language, and even though Nova couldn't speak or understand it, she talked back to him as if she could. Some of what she was saying also sounded like gibberish, but whatever the case, the two carried on with each other like they were old friends catching up. This gave me a chance to look over the rest of Shay's reply, and I was even more pleased to find Mr. Jenner was growing increasingly anxious for my return. Apparently, he wanted to pass along how much of a tease it was just to send Rufus back, and the consensus from everyone seemed to be the same. Hurry up and get back already. When Rufus and Nova finally finished catching up, I noticed she went back to picking up things around the house that she found worthy to add to her packing pile. My concern immediately headed in the direction of how we were supposed to carry all of her treasured possessions, and I suddenly formulated a task for myself and began looking for a suitable piece of fabric I could use to turn into a simple satchel for the woman. The tablecloth in the scullery still had some life left in it, and even though it was dusty and stained in a few places, it was big enough to get away with what I had in mind. So, with a few expert folds, a couple twists, and a way to tie it off, I had a small over-the-shoulder messenger-type bag ready for filling. Nova watched me avidly, and when I was done with the accessory, she looked like I'd handed her the keys to the kingdom and not some slapdash little messenger bag. She treated the haphazard creation like I went out and bought her something fancy off Rodeo Drive or something similar. She then went about filling her new accessory with some of the things she managed to pile in the center of the room, and she spent a good while putting things in and then pulling them out, so she had her satchel organized just the way she wanted it. It was so endearing to watch that I spent the rest of the time doing just that until I heard Law, the squaller, calling from outside. Nova startled like she did with Horace when she heard La bellow out her greeting from the sky. Even though Nova met Horace, she'd never met the squaller who gave the Falcon Man a ride. "It's okay," I reassured her, when she grew spooked and edgy. "It seems like Shay's here. Do you want to meet La?" The siren woman considered my question for a second before she rapidly nodded.
"Yes, please."
"Excellent," I said, and patted her on the back along with the praise. "Do you have any more snacks in here we could take out to Lala?" She nodded again and ran off to the kitchen one last time. And when she came back, she had a small, tattered basket filled with more of those lakeweed nuts. These ones were darker with a shinier exterior, and when I took a bite of one, I could tell they'd been roasted.
"Good?"
Nova asked as she clutched the basket in her wiry hands. "These are perfect," I said, and watched her grin in delight. "Let's go bring them to our visitors." The two of us exited Rickety House and jogged down the tight and twisted path until we were once again under the structure itself. Under the house was an empty space that had been eroded due to the lapping waves and the heavy winds. And to compensate, there were dozens of support beams dug into the lakeshore. Shay was just finishing up with tying La's reins to one of the beams, but when she spotted us coming, she abandoned her task and ran toward me at full tilt.
"Oh, husband! I am ever so glad to see you hearty and hale and in one piece,"
she exclaimed, even though she couldn't help but give me a once-over just to make sure.
"Darling, what is it that you're wearing?"
I looked down at the mossy wetsuit garment I was still wearing, and I laughed at the expression of distaste on my wife's heart-shaped face. "What, you don't like it?" I teased, as I flaunted my couture moss pants. "It's all the rage down here. In fact, all playing aside, this stuff is quite versatile, and I actually wanted to see what you thought about it."
"Aside from being just a tad ugly, to hear this textile is versatile means it could be something else to add to Brightwood Estates and its enterprises,"
she mused as her brilliant mind wandered down all of these paths only she could see.
"But that's neither here nor there at the moment. Please introduce me to this lovely creature."
The entire time Shay and I had been catching up, Nova stood over by La and fed the squaller the roasted lakeweed nuts. Her stormy eyes were cast down to the ground. But when the lovely phoenix woman got closer, it was almost like the siren couldn't stop herself from looking up into Shay's beautiful face. For a second, I thought Nova would say something, but that wasn't the case given the dumbstruck guppy look that had painted itself across her features. The funny thing was, I couldn't even complain because I knew the feeling when it came to being bowled over by the phoenix woman's exquisite beauty. I still felt my breath catch sometimes just looking at my wife from across the room when she sang or danced, or even watching her do something mundane like brush her hair. "This is Nova," I finally answered for the baffled siren woman, and I was amused to see her try to wrap the remains of my ripped tunic around her nakedness just a little better.
"Hello, darling,"
Shay sang, and took one of the girl's hands in hers.
"You have such lovely skin. I'm quite envious. Envious.
Nova repeated, and she drew the new word to her vocabulary out into three long syllables like she was enjoying a sip of fine wine.
Yes, it means I would love to have skin like yours,
Shay said as she nodded her crimson and gold head of hair.
You could not imagine my routine that goes into maintaining what you have naturally, my dear.
My dear,
Nova parroted with a faint flush to the apples of her green cheeks. Then, with a reverent hand, she reached out to touch some of Shay's beautiful hair, as well as her smooth face.
I brought a few things we could try on you, if you would like,
the Phoenix woman ventured as she pulled around the satchel from where it was dangling off her shoulder. Nova gasped as if she just saw a puppy on a unicycle or something equally incredible, because she showed Shay the slapdash messenger bag I'd folded out of the blue gingham tablecloth. Now that the siren woman knew there were multiple handbags made in multiple and endless styles, I could see a new obsession starting to form within her maroon-colored eyes. When she glanced back at me, her excited expression seemed to say something like, "Can you believe this? They have more than one type of thing like this?" And I suddenly had a weird parallel from my own Earth, in which I commiserated with every other male species who found themselves wanting to please his women with the most lavish of things. And then I also considered this might be a contributing factor as to why a lot of men in my position went utterly broke. Good thing there wasn't actually a rodeo drive here, that I knew of at least.
Would you like to show me your home?
Shay finally asked when Nova stopped examining her satchel with her grabby fingers. This got the siren woman's attention, and she nodded as she looped an arm through Shay's. But instead of leading the Phoenix woman up the twisty path to the rickety house, she instead marched to the right and over to where we made our camp last night. Shay shot me a look of confusion, and I responded with a shrug of my own. So the two of us had no choice but to see what this detour was all about. Sure enough, Nova brought Shay directly to our spot behind the spire rocks and gave an impromptu tour of the little space. There wasn't much except for the remains of the fire pit and the mossy sleeping pad cocoon thing, but the way Nova proudly showed her around made it seem like she had a featured spot on MTV's Cribs.
Excuse me, darling, but I'm confused,
Shay finally said after we were all sitting around the fire pit and waiting for me to get the fire going as per Nova's gestured request.
Not that this little campsite isn't charming, but what about your big house over there?
Rickety house,
Nova said with the same placid contempt coating her voice, like the first time I'd heard her describe it that way.
Not home, home. Rickety house is prison.
Shay sighed and took the siren woman's hand in hers so she could stroke it lightly.
I know the feeling.
I clenched my jaw like I always did to quell the anger that was still quick to chomp at the bars of my teeth whenever Shay's old husband, Bala Ren, was ever brought up. The way he treated the gracious woman I'd come to take as my second wife made me want to dabble in necromancy just so I could bring the fucker back and kill him all over again. It had been a while now, but the anger still felt fresh sometimes, especially whenever Shay got that faraway look in her eyes. This was the same violent feeling I'd had against Yates Krev when I was able to piece together Nova's narrative with a little left scattered around.
This home now,
Nova said as she gestured around us with a proud nod.
Oh,
Shay said as sympathy poured from her emerald green eyes.
I see. This is your home because it was the first place you found comfort.
Nova nodded sadly, but then she smiled again as she patted my hand.
Mate, build a nest. Mate, make safe.
Yes, Alex has a way of doing that, doesn't he?
Shay asked the siren, even though she kept her laughing gaze on me.
I'm very glad he was here to help you feel safe.
Nova smiled back and then did that nuzzle smush thing to the Phoenix woman like she did to me the first time I showed her what an Eskimo kiss was. Shay, of course, found it just as endearing as I knew she would. And after that, she rummaged around in her bag for a few things, the first being her infamous hair comb and a selection of crystal vials that had sweet-smelling oils in them. She then instructed the siren woman to sit in front of her while she used a tree stump as a stool, and with her mighty comb, she was tasked with the impossible, detangling the wild nest of Nova's indigo hair. At first, I worried this would be one of those traumatic experiences for the Lacuna woman. But I soon forgot my worry due to the way Shay gently started from the bottom of Nova's riotous hair and slowly worked her way up to the scalp. She was also quite generous with the oil. So by the time she was done, the Siren Woman was practically putty against Shay's legs. It was such a perfect and serene moment. It would figure the sky would wash red, and a howl would rip the piece asunder. Fucking fuck!